Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, look, give somebody a wave that says, we're so glad to see you this morning, that God is good all the way along the path, and it is good to have the opportunity to be able to come together, and it is good to see each and every one of you. If you are joining us by way of Facebook or YouTube, we welcome you today. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, our wonderful brother, Dr. Cazito, is there listening right along with you. He's flying under the auspice of Central Baptist Church, so if you have any questions, you can do that. Be sure to say hello to him as well as those others that are joining online with us this morning. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we ask that your word would spring forth life and hope within each and every one of us. We're grateful for this opportunity that we have today to be able to gather as your children. Lord, help us as we prepare our hearts and we prepare our minds to be able to meet you in this place. Father, as always, we realize that Satan is going to do everything he can to keep us distracted. He's going to do everything that he can to try to make us not hear the word that you have for each and every one of us on this very morning. So we pray that you would help us to keep our focus upon you today, and that all we say and all that we do truly would magnify you as we lift you up. Lord, help us to hear the message you have for each and every one of us in an individual way this day, and help us adjust to that message. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we take a moment or two, first of all, it's good to have our Cuba team back, which I see, you know, most of them are around here today. So you guys did some awesome, some incredible things as far as being instruments in the hand of our Lord. Over the next couple of weeks, probably at this time during the service, I'll share some of those things with you. Just to give you a quick idea on conditions, the power wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was going to be initially, because they said they were only having power for like 1 hour a day. We actually had power, but it was usually it'd be on for anywhere from 4 hours to six, and then it would be off anywhere 4 hours to six, and that would kind of rotate around. So sometimes you'd have it in the day, sometimes you'd have it at night. The weather conditions were mostly about 86 to 89 degrees Fahrenheit each day, with humidity that would creep in there. And of course, if you didn't have any power, you didn't have any air conditioning. So, you know, we got to suffer for Jesus a little bit on our trip over there. We actually were able to do some construction work this year. Last year, the trip turned to a 100% ministry trip, mainly because they didn't have supplies or resources by which to get those. But this year, we did have the joy of doing a couple of things known as sifting and washing sand. Yes, we washed sand. And the same thing held true for aggregate that they would put in concrete mix. We had to wash that as well. So I hope to bring you a picture or two each Sunday as we go forward during this time, as to not take up a ton of time in the services. But we did have a chance to go to churches. Last week I was preaching at the church in Ducaro. We visited several other pastors, some new ones that we had not had a chance to establish relationships with. As well as being able to be there to support. I always mention that it is Pastor Appreciation Sunday, the Sunday that we are there. And this year we actually were able to, we took five different Bibles to be able to present to pastors, just as a way to say, hey, we care about you, we thank you. The ladies group actually made a care package for the pastor's wife, as well as those who served us. So those were just tremendous opportunities to be of some encouragement along the way. So I look forward to bringing you some pictures. And today, you know, over this past week, I saw something that was very scriptural. It led me to the scriptural passage that's actually going to be our text today. So I'll share a little bit more in our message this morning as we look into God's word, because I saw a tremendous example of something that was biblical concerning the church in the book of Acts. So we look forward to having that opportunity. So let's prepare our hearts to worship as Brad comes to lead us.
Good morning. Thanks, Lord. Please stand as we sing Holy, 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 number 2.
Good morning. I know it looks a little different up here than what it usually does. This morning we have many of the ladies from our retreat group that has gone either in 2023 or 2024 down to the beach for a time of worship and studying the Word together. And I see some of you out there who didn't make it up to the choir loft. I've got your names, but I'm not going to call you out. but we miss having you up here. But anyway, at the retreat this past October, we actually spent some time studying the life of Paul and the examples that he set for us as he shared his story and his testimony, his before Jesus story, his meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his after stories, and how he adapted those in different situations at different times. And it became a powerful tool for him in sharing the gospel and opening up conversations and setting an examples. And everyone here has a story, not just these ladies that had an opportunity to share our stories together while we were away, but everybody here has a story, and that God will use these stories, whether they were good stories, bad stories, stories of miracles or hardships, that if we're just obedient and willing to open ourselves up and share that with others, it'll open doors and it will plant seeds for us to use our stories and our testimonies to actually spread the gospel, which is what we're supposed to do. And as we shared our stories on this retreat, we encouraged each other, because we truly believe that not just us, but each one of you are here right now for such a time as this, that we have been chosen to be here at this point in time, and that God will use us, and he'll use each of our individual lives and our individual stories to actually spread the gospel, and for us to be able to, at any time, be able to give an account for what it is that brings us our joy and our hope in him. And so while we were at the retreat, Ann Brooks, she's our fearless leader back here, she encouraged us to sing this this hymn. It's a very familiar hymn to all of you. And we were a little off key, and we sang it a cappella, obviously, down there. But in that moment, it was very powerful, and it became very important to each of us. And we will carry the song in our hearts forever. And we just wanted to share that story with you and our version of Jesus and his glory and of Jesus and his love.
Oh,
Please join us now as we sing 337, I Know Whom I Have Believing.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. As we were out of town on the mission trip this past week in Cuba. There were many things that we got to see. We got to see worship take place, unlike what we have here. In some ways alike, in some ways not alike. We got the opportunity to spend time with those brothers and sisters in Christ that we have gotten to know over the years. And it truly is, it truly goes back to the aspect of the fact that the church is not the building. It goes back to the aspect that the church, it's made up of her people. And for folks that we have seen for 20 years in a lot of ways, we have this opportunity to be able to go back and to meet with them and to worship. And it's always like a reunion. And we go over there and we see the differences. We see a lot of things that are different between how things are, the struggles that they have. And yet we do see the joy of the Lord being their strength as well. And as I thought about that, it carried me to a particular scripture passage we're going to look at today as our text. It's Acts chapter 2. And this is the beginning of the church, the beginning of the formation of the church as it's coming together. It's a body of believers that start to come together for the purpose of being able to worship, just like what we're doing today, to be able to gather around the Word. And just like us, they were from different walks of life. There were different socioeconomic statuses that were represented among those who knew the Lord. And yet we see some interesting things take place when it comes down to how the church functioned. This was a great thing. It's a thing that's great today. We had a chance to experience some of this while we were over there. And what a joy it is to think about how it would work today, because this is the way the church was designed back in Acts. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 2. And we're actually going to begin reading at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in praying. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread and from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we just ask that you would truly speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that your word would come to life within us. I pray, Father, that if there are areas that need adjustment within our own lives, that you would point those out to us today. Father, most of all, I pray that we will take these moments, that we would hear from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray if there's one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that today truly would be the day they would give their heart to you. And Lord, we might all rejoice together, knowing that we will spend eternity together in the place that you have gone to prepare for us. So Father, for these moments, I ask that you would use me as your messenger, speak to your people through me. And Lord, we'll praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at how, you know, the church was established and the things that were going on, there's just a couple of things I want us to see out of these few passages today. And the first thing was that there was some devotion to the apostles' teaching. If you look there in Acts 2:42, what that says is simply this. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer." So what was happening is they were coming together essentially that they might learn from the Word of God. Is that not what we're doing today? Is that not why we gather together? So that we can draw close to Him, so that we can learn? Now, you got to remember, not everybody had their King James Bible or their cell phone with their Bible apps on it back in that day. So it wasn't like they had all this opportunity to be able to read and do a lot of understanding on their own. So they came together that they might be able to hear the Word of God, that they might be able to grow in His grace. Now, the early church was characterized by a steadfast commitment to the apostles' teaching. And what this was indicative of was the fact that there was a hunger for it. Man, I tell you one thing, you start to walk with the Lord, you start to see Him do some incredible things, it creates or should create within each and every one of us a hunger to draw closer to Him, a hunger to learn more, a hunger to be a part. You know, I've often said this, you know, too many times we get that thing where we're like, ah, Sunday's coming, I got to go to church. Man, I was always excited to be able to come together on Sunday because of what God was teaching me, not only throughout the week. And it wasn't just about me being able to go and absorb what was being taught on any given Sunday, but it was also about being able to have that opportunity to share what God had taught me through the week, through my personal Bible study. That's what's so great about small group discipleship, being able to sit down and be able to say, hey, look, man, let me tell you what God showed me this week through the scripture text and through the passages that we're looking at. So they had a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, and they were eager to learn, and they were eager to grow in God's grace. Yeah, it says that the devotion to the apostles' teaching also highlighted the importance of grounding our faith in sound doctrine, and I cannot express how important that is today. There is so much out there that's going around that is anything but sound doctrine. And here's the tragedy. The tragedy is that there are many people who have been part of churches for years and years and years that are being drawn away by false doctrines. They're being drawn away by false teachings. And why is that? Because they don't know this well enough to realize when something crops up that is contrary to God's word. There are droves and droves and droves of people who say, I am a Christian person, who are being led astray by doctrine that is being taught by wolves in sheep's clothing. There, I said it, plain and simple. You have got to check it and sift it through the Word of God. If it is not of the Word of God, then here it is. It's not of the Word of God. But unless you know, unless you check it, the litmus test is God's Word. It's not any one human being. Now, I'm not saying that you can't go consult another biblically intelligent person. I'm not saying that you can't sit down and discuss it, but the true litmus test is the Word of God. If it conflicts with the Word of God, let me promise you, then it is not of God, plain and simple. You know, we look at things today, we look at people, we look at the condition of our society, we look at the condition of wrong being called right today. You know what? How many of y'all have seen that? Yeah, all the things that are wrong are being touted as being right. And unfortunately, that's even been through churches. But the litmus test is right here. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care how you spin it. I don't care how you turn it. I don't care what kind of lipstick you put on that pig. It is not going to fly with God, because His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Plain and simple. You see, the devotion to the apostles' teaching showed the importance of being grounded in our faith and having sound doctrine as we live out our lives. And this is important. A lot of times people say, well, you know, that doctrine thing, we don't want to talk about that. We just like to get together and have a good old time. Folks, doctrine is what you believe and why you believe it, plain and simple. The teaching was essential for forming the foundation of their very beliefs and guiding them in their daily lives. Now, you've heard me use the term biblical worldview. You know, for me, every one of us have a worldview. Whether you think about it or not, you have a worldview. It's how you see the world and how you function within that world. Now, you notice what I said before. I have a biblical worldview. And what that means is that my what I see and what I do functions around the Word of God. This is my basis. These are my rules. And every one of us have them. So are we living our lives based on a biblical worldview? Or are we living our lives based on a worldview that is other than something that is godly that we see along the way? It's plain and simple. Many, many times people will sit back and they'll say, well, I just like to do it this way. Well, is it against what the Word of God says? Are these values that we are holding against the Word of God? You don't usually have to dig very far to find out. And it's so ironic how many people will sit back and say, I am a believer, but yet directly go against something that the Word of God very clearly and in plain black and white spells out. Surprising, isn't it? See, are we prioritizing learning from the Scriptures in our daily lives? That's where I was going with that. Have we made that a priority? Now, I want you to think about something for just a moment as you consider this thought. A lot of times people will sit back and say, well, I'm busy. I'm a busy person, okay? I think all of us would probably be able to say we're busy people. There might be a couple in here that say, I don't, I'm retired and I'm loving it. That's great. But most of us are busy people. We've got a lot of things that are taking place. We've got a lot of things that are going on. And so what happens is they don't prioritize spending time with the Lord in His Word on a daily basis. Now, I want you to think about something. Before long, this life is going to be over with. I like what David says. Ain't none of us getting out of it alive. Yeah, plain and simple. It is appointed unto man wants to die. Every second that ticks off the clock is one less that you have in what is called this life that God has given us. And before long, death will be upon us. Now, I want you to think about it for just a second, and it's even in regards to a song that we've sang many, many times, Amazing Grace. And that last verse says, when we've been there, how long? Can we really fathom 10,000 years? I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about 10,000 years based on the as we know it. 10,000 years. Long time, right? Now, when does the rest of that verse? It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. What's that next line? We've no less days. Are you getting it? We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. 10,000 years in the outlook of eternity is one grain of sand on all of the beaches in this world. And then if you could count them all out, then you could start all over again and do it again. And again and again. I don't think that we wrap our brain around the concept of eternity. So now that I've got you thinking more on an eternal basis, let me ask you this question. Are you so busy in the 70 years that God has given us on this earth that we can't make room for the master that we will serve for all of eternity? Kind of gets our priorities a little bit more in order, I would think, or it should. We're only here for a little while. Are we prioritizing learning from the Scriptures in our daily lives? Listen, if not, commit to a regular routine, a daily routine, a Bible study, and be open to what it is that God wants to teach you through His Word. Now, a second thing I want us to see out of these particular passages today is the fellowship of the community. Look at verses 44 and 45 of our text today. It says, now all who believed were together. I could stop right there and preach a sermon on that, couldn't I? It says, all who believed were together. That wasn't just physically together, but that was also emotionally and mentally together, and had all things in common. They were all on the same page. You know why they were all on the same page? Because they were all serving the same God who was given the same direction, and they had all things in common. Verse 45 says this. It says, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. You see, the early Christians demonstrated this radical form of what we call community, okay? Where they were united in heart. They were united in mind. They were willing to share their resources and looking after each other's needs. Now, I want to say this. This is the thing that really struck me and brought me to this particular scriptural passage for today, because that is exactly what Central Baptist Church did over this past month, and exactly what your mission team did as we went out this past week. I thought about and shared with you guys the things that as a church we had supported along the way in the past. And I shared with you, this is what this cost. And I want to say, as a church of believers, you guys rose to the challenge. The last time I addressed you was right before we had the chance to leave. I wasn't here with you last week, and I mentioned, I said, based on our budget for Cuba, we were $2,000 short. Well, by the time I talked to Mari that week, we not only met that $2,000, there was an extra $5,000, I believe, if that's correct. You guys stepped up to the challenge. Now, our thing is, Lord, help us to be aware of what you want us to do with this. And as we went over there, we saw our brothers and sisters in Christ, a body of believers who had many, many needs along the way. We were able to go visit churches and hear these guys working on trying to make a patio shed to be able to have church under it. And let me say that the Lord led in that direction to be able to say, Central Baptist Church, your brothers and sisters of Central Baptist Church want to help you. You know, we're not great with welding and grinding and everything else, but God has allowed us resources to be able to help you. So therefore, Central Baptist Church helped the brothers and sisters of Christ at the 26th Baptist Church to be able to fund some more work for them to be able to have that church there. I thought about what it was like as we went places, and I'm going to pick on Jim. And by the way, Jim next door over there at Awaken Church today, they're celebrating their 11th anniversary. So if you get a chance, be sure to congratulate them and let them know that you'll be praying for them. But they actually have a ministry that they do on the third weekend here in Greensboro. It's called Church Under the Bridge. Have you all heard of that? There are several that participate in that. But for 20-some years, back and forth, going from Santiago, Cuba, up to the place where we stay at the retirement center, we always went under this bridge, and there was always foliage and everything. I never realized there was a community in behind there. And we were taken to this particular place, and we got to meet the church planters. It's a man and his wife who had planted that church. And they were in the process of handing this church over to a pastor, and then they were going to move to plant a church somewhere else. Now, I would probably say that maybe the living room was probably the size of the choir loft, if you squared it off. And we got a chance to meet the pastor there and talk to him, and he shared with his heart, and he said, yeah, he said, we were there on a Monday. He said, yeah, yesterday we had 50 here. Could you imagine putting 50 in that? in that choir loft? They were 50 that were there for worship. And I love what he said. He said, you know, he said, we got this tree, and he said, this big old tree, and he said, the people go out there and they drink under that tree. That's what they do. He said, they come over there and they drink and they get drunk under that tree. And he said, so I wanted to cut that tree down. And then he said, no. He said, the Lord said, no. Don't you cut that tree down. He said, why would you want to cut down the very instrument by which I am bringing you people? So he said, I had to think about that. And he said, so we're in the process of beginning a ministry called the Tree of Blessings. And what they're going to do is they're going to serve coffee to those folks and have gospel conversations to the people under that tree. So you, Central Baptist Church, helped support this man's church with an offering. We calculated it up, and once again, with the economy, it's back down to about $15 per average worker there. That's what they make. $15 per month is what they make. And yet they never let things like that hold them up. You know why? Because God sends people like your mission team and calls on people like you to fulfill his will. So we left an offering for the church. We left an offering and a gift for the pastor and his wife. And then we had the opportunity to provide for the retirement center coffee, which is something we said we've been doing. And by the way, that's a huge thing. I mean, that's like tea is for England, coffee is for Cuba. So while we were buying coffee, we just, for the retirement center, we just added four more bags of coffee. And we went back by that church the next day and said, this is to help you with your blessing tree ministry. Now, four bags of coffee is going to last them for a long time. They don't drink coffee like we do. We have regular cups. They've got those little tiny things. They drink coffee different than we do. So that four bags of coffee will probably last them at least a half of a year. And what a blessing Central Baptist Church was to stand by and say, hey, look, you need coffee? We got coffee. You need funding to do these things. We've got funding. And many of you didn't get to see that from the grassroots level, but you sent a team to do exactly that. And God's math always adds up better than mine, right?
Yes, sir.
His math adds up so much better than what mine does. And I'll tell you, we were about to have an issue. Now, I'm leading all this back to this particular passage. Because it said that when there were the brothers and sisters in Christ, they came together with one mind. And it says, and I'm not asking you to go out and sell everything and bring it down here to the church, unless God says for you to do that. But I am saying this, all of us are at different levels. And when we come together, we are better together. And when we come together and work and help each other, it makes all the difference in the world. And we actually got down close to the end of the week, and I kept thinking, first time in my life that I ever had this thought on a mission trip. I said, we've got too much money. I mean, that, have you ever thought about that? I said, Central Baptist Church raised too much money for this trip. Well, no, that's not the case. But as we looked, as we sought, Lord, where is it that you would have this to go? We talked about the desperation of the power situation over there. We talked about the senior adults there. By the way, let me tell you about our meals. We ate like kings compared to those that were over there, but they had an old metal rim of a tire. And they would have the wood fire and charcoal, and that's how they cooked for us as well as the residents there over an open fire. Because you see, when the power would go out, those that had propane would use it. That made it a propane shortage. So they didn't have that. So with joy of heart and gladness to serve, they would build a fire and they would cook us breakfast. They would cook us lunch. They would cook us dinner every day. And I will promise you that the meals that we ate were not the same ones they were eating, because they gave to us. They gave not only their best, they gave what they didn't have that they could have taken for themselves and gave it to us. That's what this passage is about. So we thought, and all of a sudden it clicked. A couple of days before we were ready to leave, Pastor Donis at the retirement center said, yeah, this situation doesn't appear like it's going to get any better. It's only going to get worse with the power. And he says, we've got to be able to do some things. They were ecstatic with what we brought in. In fact, they couldn't get milk. We were light on our luggage because of what we were taking in, but we would always pack it back up. And I think Steve and Mari went and bought some extra weight for us to take by way of flour and powdered milk and those sort of things. That's the first milk they'd seen in a long time, because they can't get it over there. I can't get regular milk. They hadn't even had that powdered milk. Flour, unavailable. So what did they do? They make juices and things with the milk. They baked us a cake out of the flour. That's the way they are. So all these things, the Vaseline, big hit along the way, because they needed to be able to make a skin balm, and they had everything. The chemist had everything that he needed except the base. And guess what the base is? Vaseline. It's all there. Street lights, so they'd be able to see. We packed street lights in bags. We took 8 of them over there. And I kept thinking, yeah, this is not going to be that great. Nope, they weren't great. I was shocked. They got there. They didn't get broken. Everything worked great. So I went back to hear Pastor Donna say, I'm going to make a proposal to the seminary. The seminary is right beside the retirement center. He said, my proposal is going to be if they can come up with $5,000 and we can come up with $5,000, we'll go together and get a big generator that is capable of running both of these facilities when the power is out. Ding, 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 ding. Like, ah! So we sit down, we talked with the guys, and we had essentially $4,000 left over. So we thought that'll be a good start. But then we had also increased their operational expense. Usually what we would give them is $2,000 for operating expense for the retirement center, but we put another $1,000 in there and said plus projects before we ever even had this conversation. So we were able to sit down with Pastor Donis and say, if you can get them to get their other 5, you have yours. Because here's $4,000 plus there's $1,000 in your project fund. There's your $5,000. Couldn't believe it. But you see, God called on you to make that happen before anybody ever saw anything. And as we went over, God sent us over there to help them with the resources that we have. Did you get that? Now let me go back to verse 44 of our text. Verse 44 says, now all who believe were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. They had a need. They've got many needs. And God tugged at your heartstrings. God caused you to be able to give for this. He says, I'm going to use Central Baptist Church to meet many of the needs of these folks over here right now because I have blessed them with it. They're willing to listen to me. I'm going to send it with them to where it needs to be. I don't know about you, but this is not a Bible school term or anything like that. It's probably not even a spiritual term, but to me, that is cool. That is great to be able to have the opportunity to be used by God in ways that, see, this is where it all starts to come together. You get to see why God led you to give what you gave. You get to see it go into action. You see, the early Christians demonstrated this radical form of community where they were all united in heart. They were all united in mind. They were willingly sharing the resources that they had, and they were looking after each other's needs. Do you get it? God sent us there. And he calls each and every one of you to be a part of it. Now, those things sound probably simple and little to you, but they're not. And Satan always tries to make things more complicated than they should be. I'll show you, like I said, as we go over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to show you some of the photographs. But we went and bought the coffee for the retirement center, and there were 2 grocery cart shopping loads of them. There were 31 bags of coffee plus 4 for the other church. So it was 35 bags of coffee. So we got ready to pay for it, and we could pay in U.S. dollars, which is what they wanted. Then we realized how difficult this was going to be, because I want to say the total on the coffee was 910 U.S. dollars. They took every single bill. Well, we see that here, don't we? We see them do that. They look for that little strip and everything else. But then you know what they did? Then they took out a ledger, wrote down the serial number of every single bill. If it had even just the slightest little ballpoint pen of ink on it, this one's no good. Gunny was sitting there going, try that one. Try this one. Till we got $910 on the table, and every single bill serial number was there. Oh, but they're not done yet. Need to see your passport. Wrote down my name, the passport number. I'm thinking, wow. Then they turned the ledger around and said, you need to initial beside every one of these bills. I guess if it was a counterfeiter, they'd know where to come find us. Places we went were like that. But we don't let the difficulties stop us. We don't let the difficulties hinder us. And at 3 o'clock today, the senior adults of the senior center will have 3 o'clock coffee because of you. Now, coffee is also a fellowship instrument over there. They come together. It's like us. Let's meet up at the coffee shop. Let's go get a cup of coffee. Haven't we said that before? Hey, look, man, I hadn't talked to you in a long time. Let's go grab a cup of coffee. It's the same with the senior adults. It's the same with the workers and the people that are there. And today, you have provided an opportunity for fellowship as well as biblical conversation between senior adults as well as workers of the facility. You have provided them coffee for breakfast. You have provided them breakfast in many ways, food-wise. You see, true Christian community is marked by selflessness and generosity. And I want to say to the folks of Central Baptist Church, you have been very, very generous in your support of this particular group that goes to Cuba each year. I'll also go on to say that you have been very generous in your support of all mission endeavors. Wow. The endeavors of our church, you have risen to the challenge. You have gone when you can. You have supported financially as you can. And you have all supported prayerfully. And look what God does when we do that. It says that the church was that way. The church all had the same mind, the same heart. They made sure that if there was a need, the need was met. The difference is it's not about just a facility. It's about the body of Christ. Remember, you've heard me say this before. There's only one church, and that's the body of believers. We just have a bunch of little places that we come and worship and go by different names. But here's the cool part. They are as much a part of the church as you and I are here. And Central Baptist Church stepped up to help many churches and brothers and sisters in Christ over there. See, true Christian community is marked by selflessness as well as generosity. And that kind of fellowship goes beyond simply meeting together. It involves sharing life deeply and caring for one another's physical and one another's spiritual needs. Do you understand now the connection of the church? Do you understand why the church is important? That kind of flies in the face of those who say, well, I ain't got to go to church to be a Christian. Well, no, you don't. But look at what being a part of the body of Christ is really all about. So knowing this and looking at these passages, think about this. How is it that we can foster deeper relationships with our own church community? Consider how we can contribute our time, our talents, and our resources to support and to uplift others within our community. And when I say community, I'm not just talking about the Oak Ridge community. I'm talking about the community of Central Baptist Church, the community of believers. Are we a vital, viable part of being able to be what God wants us to be? I know there have been times in my life when the Lord's given me some money, but he gave it to me because he had a cause and a purpose for it. And I'm sitting there going, yay, man, I got me some money. And then the Lord says, now here's what I want you to do with it. And you're kind of like, You ever been there? Come on. Where are my people? But Lord, I got plans for this. God says, yep, me too. And you're part of it. So I want you to take my money. See, that's where the rub often comes in. See, we got this way of thinking that it's our money, not God's money. And we say, God, I got plans for this. Lord says, so do I. But I am using you. You are a messenger. You're like the Amazon guy. You know, somebody has made a prayerful order over there. So get in your big Amazon truck because the warehouse, that's me, just provided what's needed. Now you carry it over there and you give it to them. Would you imagine the Amazon driver getting out and going, ooh, that looks like a new computer. I think I'll just keep that for myself. Don't like that, do we? Wouldn't want that to happen. But God says, can I trust you? I just want to say to the body of believers at Central Baptist Church, God gave you a huge assignment that you didn't even know about. But I'm even more proud to be able to say you rose to the challenge. You were what God wanted you to be when he wanted you to be. And there are some incredible things that are taking place even right now because of your faithfulness. I can't say that enough. I wish, I feel at times like I'm sitting on a wall and over here is Central Baptist Church and over here are the people of Cuba and I've been the person that's kind of passed it back and forth, but I can see what's going on over here and I'm sitting there going, you should see this. You ought to get a glimpse of what's going on over here. By the way, if you want to get a glimpse, next trip will be the first week of March next year. Okay? But I'll need to know. For all y'all who sit back and say, well, let me pray about it. Start praying now. Because I need to know by the first part of November, because it takes that long to get visas and everything else approved. And by the way, God's going to let you know before then. Some of you, he's already let you know. You know what? For some of you today, maybe it's the Lord saying, you know what? I'm not calling you to go to Cuba, but I am calling you to go down the road to Camp Caraway. Got some stuff going on down there, don't you? Going to be some things going to be taking place down here at the camp. You know, there's some other things that are taking place around. To be able to serve others, to meet those particular needs. And another thing we saw was the commitment in our text, the commitment to worship and prayer. Now look at verse 46. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They didn't complicate things, y'all. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That doesn't sound like a very tough formula to see a church grow, does it? It doesn't sound like a really tough formula to make happen where we are today. See, worship and prayer were central to the life of the early church. Worship and prayer. Worship and prayer. They gathered daily to express their adoration for God. And they demonstrated the joy and the authenticity of their faith. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. I saw people over there. we have people come by
just to see us because of the relationships that we had built in 20 years over there. They weren't just coming for a handout. They were coming by because they genuinely loved us. I had told you all before about one of the ladies over there who'd worked in the kitchen for years and years and years by the name of Kenya. In fact, if you are on Facebook, she has probably sent you a friend request, and you are probably that's how many of you, how many of y'all are friends on Facebook with Kenya here? Look at these hands. Go ahead and put them up, yeah. That's just her. She loves on everybody. Last year or year before last, when Jeff was sick, she took care of him like a personal nurse. Jeff wasn't feeling good, and Kenya would make him food and take it to him. I'm like, ain't none of us getting breakfast in bed. What's the deal here? She was concerned. And every year when we left, she cried. She herself and her family will be moving to Brazil probably in May or June. But you know what she did? She came by to see the team from Central Baptist Church just to love on us. And to cry on us, because that's her heart. That's her heart. She made a little bracelet that says Cuba on it. See, it's interesting to see that when people have nothing and you give them something, they usually wind up turning around trying to use it on you. They don't have flour, but yet they baked us a cake. They had to work hard to find coffee for us because they know we're coffee junkies. And we got to the point, and this was interesting what Pastor Dona said. He said, you guys right now are about to finish the last bag of coffee that you bought for the center last year. Loaves and fishes, doesn't he stretch it out? So before we got done with that bag, 31 more arrived. Because of you listening to the Lord. Worship and prayer is what we need to do. You see, communal worship and prayer strengthen our relationship with God as well as with each other. And it's a celebration of God's goodness and an acknowledgement of our dependence upon Him when we take these times to come together. So here's what I want to kind of wrap it up with today. How intentional are we in our worship and in our prayer life? Intentional. I like to use the word purpose. Do we purpose every day to make sure we spend time with the Lord, and do we purpose every day to make sure that we're spending time in prayer with Him? I'm asking you today to evaluate your personal and your communal worship practices and seek ways to deepen your connection with God and with others through these spiritual disciplines that we can learn from the book of Acts chapter 2. See, the early church in Acts 2 serves as a powerful model of what it means to live in authentic community. I don't know if you've, in any religious circles, people, you know, they'll sit back and say, we live as a church in community. Brothers and sisters, we're a community. That's what we are. So is it a powerful community? Are we living in an authentic community? In an authentic community that is devoted to teaching, that's devoted to fellowship, that's devoted to discipleship, and that's devoted to worship. That right there, those are your things. That's it. That's all you need to know. That's it. See, their lives exhibited a profound commitment to God and to one another. And in inspiring us, it should inspire each and every one of us to pursue the same vibrant community today that we read about in Acts chapter 2. I wrote a little challenge down. I said, reflect on how you can more fully invest in building a Christ-centered community. Engage with your church family. Prioritize worship and the study of God's word. And take concrete steps to reflect the essence of the early church in your own context. You know what? It was probably something else to be a part of that church, wasn't it? Could you imagine being a part of the church in Acts chapter 2? Could you imagine in your life having a need and, you know, you come together and you're doing life together in community and you're just sharing, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, look, I've got, You know, it's like, hey, look, what's wrong? Something's bothering you. Well, I've got this need. And you mention the need, and then all of a sudden that need gets met. Could you imagine that? Some of us have experienced that before. When somebody said, you know what, you know, we're struggling over here, and then all of a sudden God's people stepped up and did something so incredible that you can't even imagine. Why? Because they were God's people. Not because anybody owed anybody anything or was looking for payback. It was simply because that's what God's people do. God said, I'm going to smile on you through my children. Can you imagine what that's like to live in that? You know, when you show up and you're like, legit, you forgot your wallet, not faking it, but you forgot your wallet, and you're going to lunch, and somebody goes, hey, don't worry about it, I got it. And they're not sitting back going, well, I'll tell you what, I'll pay for yours, but it's going to be with 20% interest compounded daily. Your money's no good here. Come on, we're going to eat in fellowship together. And listen, and when you receive it, you know that that's the heart that it was given in. And why is it that way? Because you yourself have been the person who said, don't worry about it, I got you. Don't worry about it, I got you. We always use that term, and we always think it's so cool when somebody goes, pay it forward. That's basically what we're supposed to be doing every day of our life. Pay it forward. Be what God wants you to be. Now, I've said this. Now, I'm not preaching about tithing. That would be like preaching to the choir. You all are exemplary when it comes to tithing. I just want to tell you that. You all are an exception to the rule at Central Baptist Church. You understand what the tithe means. And I can't tell you that enough, how blessed we are and how much I appreciate that. By the way, just to give you the number, most people don't know how much we took to Cuba. It was $26,000. That's what you gave. That's what you gave to make the budget. That's what you gave to support these ministries that are taking place over there. $26,000. Does that surprise you? Now you should see the work that God will do. And let me tell you this. This I know. God is going to reward you for it. And you say, well, preacher, how can you say that? Because it's in the Word. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, try me. He said, you think you can outgive me? You try me. And he says, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you cannot even contain. Buckle up, y'all. Because God's getting ready to dump some blessings upon you and upon your church for being faithful to Him. I hope that surprised you. Surprised us, because we're sitting there going, oh, okay, so we have to go in illegally. We can't divide it out among us to get through. And yet, let me promise you this. We didn't bring a single dime of it home. Every bit of it was invested in ministry, invested in lives, invested in churches, invested in children, invested in encouragement. I'm going to show you some pictures. There's ladies that put together. I got a picture that you don't know about yet, but it's the pastor's wife of 26th Baptist and his daughter. With the markers and the paints and the different things, just a smile and the gift, the sewing kit and all those things. That's a big deal. That was a big deal to her. I asked the pastor there, I said, what can I pray for you about? And he said, well, we're just praying. Not asking. I mean, they're genuine. And he said, you know, he said, my daughter's 14th birthday is coming up. And he said, I'm just praying God's gonna help us to be able to give her a good birthday party. By the way, a cake over there is a big deal. If you get a cake, that's a big deal. And of course, you know what the Lord says, and you know how it is with children. So, you know, I did all the church stuff, and we're saying goodbye to him at the van, and Roy's wallet had to come out. I said, by the way, give your daughter a good 14th birthday party. Because the Lord said, you know that stuff in your wallet? It's not yours. It's mine. I'm like, well, Lord, this is my money. That's not the church's money. He said, I know. Get some of it out. Here. Give your daughter a good birthday party. Now, remember, the average salary is $15 U.S. dollars per month. She had $100 for her birthday party. So she's going to get a cake, and she's going to get a, and I will promise you he's going to send me some pictures. All these things that you guys have done are incredible. The church was in one accord, one heart, one mind, and nobody had need because the needs were met. Brad, you guys come on up. First of all, I ask, do you serve the God who knows you by name? Have you trusted him? Have you given him your life? Have you said, yes, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Have you called on him? Does he call you by name? Is there a place at the table for you in the place called heaven? If not, listen, today you need to understand that you could draw your last breath and you could spend all of eternity in a place called hell. And I don't want to see that. Man, I love each and every one of y'all. I don't want to see anybody spend an eternity in hell. Don't be stubborn. Give your life to Jesus today. And people would say, well, how do I do that? You can simply cry out to him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Save me. Help me live like one of your children. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And that sounds so simple. That's just the beginning. But that is you say, yes, Lord, I see the gift of Jesus and I accept it, I embrace it. That's the first step. Now let us celebrate with you. If you did that, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help get you started on the right path. And that's what we're here for. Maybe you're here today and you've thought church is that place I go to and I sit down on Sunday mornings and there's no influence outside these walls and maybe you've thought there's no influence inside these walls. But whatever it is, the Church of Acts is the perfect model of what we should be. We're to love each other. We're not only to meet spiritual needs, we're to meet physical needs. And I want to say, I am so proud of Central Baptist Church that you do that. You've done it in an incredible way. You have done it in an exemplary fashion through this last trip. You do it here. Let's never, ever lose that edge when it comes to being what God wants us to be. I am so glad to be a part of a church that believes in missions. Whether it's outside the walls of the church, whether it's down the road, whether it's across the state, or whether it's across the ocean. It's about Jesus. I can't wait to hear more stories. I can't wait to share more stories with you. But all I can say is this, God is good. And all the time, God is good. Maybe the Lord has kind of gotten our heart. Maybe you've been like me. You've been a little selfish and stingy. By the way, I'm not just preaching on tithing. You can take it however the Holy Spirit puts it out there. I believe you got to preach on that because it's biblical. But like I said, you guys do great. It's easy to preach on that here. Easiest place I've ever preached on giving in my life because everybody out there is not offended. You're like, I'm already doing that. Good. That's great. But maybe there are some things that you need to, maybe God's called you to get on the airplane. Maybe God's called you to go across. Whatever he called you to do, answer that call today. I want you to know I'll be here. The altar is here. Whatever you need, as the Lord has done business with you today, would you take care of that with him as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated.
Oh,
with hearts as he continues to deal with each and every one of us in our own little way, that you would make sure that you would have it right with him before you leave here, no matter what it is, no matter what the circumstance may be. I just ask that we can go away from here with a clear heart, a clear mind, clear conscience, whatever you want to call it, but that the Spirit has dealt with us and we have dealt with the Spirit, that we go forward and we look forward to a bright and a grand, grand future. Just as we take care of one more thing up here, if you would just in an attitude of prayer, continue to seek the Lord, and we'll be with you just a second. This time, I'm also going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, it's so exciting to have the opportunity to be together with you in your house today. And Lord, just the many, many things that you have spoken into our hearts, I pray, Lord, that we will deal with them in a way that we will have joy and peace as we go forward. Thank you for this church. Lord, I cannot express enough the faithfulness in their giving to you in so many ways. So, Father, right now we ask that you would bless the tithe and the offering. May it be used to further your kingdom as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to make for you today, Ruth Ellen, come on up here for just a second. I know a lot of you folks have seen Ruth Ellen here around and with us over the past several weeks, months. Time gets away from me. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But Ruth Ellen is coming to request membership in Central Baptist Church. She has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of her life. She has followed his command to be baptized by immersion. So she is coming to us by letter of transfer. So do I hear a motion that she be received? Is there a second? All those who rejoice in her, come and say a hearty amen. I'm going to give you a chance to greet this sweet, sweet lady right here. We're glad to have you as part of our church family. Mari, would you do me a favor? Would you walk with Ruth Ellen back there and people give a chance to hug your neck or whatever, pass on a cold or something else?
But if you don't take those.
You don't take those. She's going to reject it, the cold. But as you get a chance, please greet her on your way out just to say, hey, look, we're so glad to have her as part of our fellowship. So before I mess up, I'm going to give this to Tammy. And Tim, if you'll get a copy of that real quick from Tammy before we leave. See, you know, I'm not real good on the administrative side of things, so if I don't think of it right then, I don't wind up getting it done. Listen, I know we got a lot of things that are going on. I love you. I appreciate the extra time today. We're not showing that we have any birthdays for this week. We do have a couple of anniversaries coming up this week. So Roger and Ann Brooks will be celebrating another year of marriage together, as well as Angel and Fred Penson. So when you get a chance, let them know how much you love them and that you'll be praying for them along the way. Activities for the day here, I have my D group at 3:30. 4:45 choir rehearsal as normal. Awana is at 5:30, meets over in the other building. And of course, that is 5:30 to 6:30, just reminding of the new time. David's Bible study, Pastor David, be down the hall here for the adult Bible study at 6 o'clock p.m. Band rehearsal tonight, 7-ish. Let's put it that way. We're saying 7, but whenever David gets done, but 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary if you are part of the band. And also Steve Kelly's D group, y'all meeting tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Mondays at 6 o'clock in the educational building. Camp Carefree Luncheon for Workers, that's going to be March the 14th at 4 p.m. in the gym. So if you're going to be working Camp Carefree this year, don't forget March 14th, 4 p.m. There'll be a luncheon for you. I'm sure you'll go over what you all will be doing as far as your work at Camp Carefree. Also, just as a reminder, there is a free breakfast for veterans. That is every second Friday, 8:30 a.m. at the Bethel Methodist Church up here on Hall River Road. If you need any more information, we can get you more information about that. The ladies' monthly breakfast will be on the 13th of this month at 9 o'clock a.m. That's the one at Cagney's. So March 13th, 9 a.m., Cagney's for the ladies' breakfast. And just to let folks know, we're going to be essentially redoing the prayer list. So hear me carefully, because we don't want to make nobody mad. That's not what we're out here for. But essentially, we're going to be taking everybody off of the prayer list, with the exception of long-term folks that we know of, folks that are fighting cancer or whatever. If you have folks on the prayer list, please let us know, because what's going to happen is the purging is going to take place on March the 30th, which will coincide with Sylvia's weekly email that goes out to folks. So again, we're not just trying to take people off of our prayer list. The problem is, a lot of times we get prayer requests and then nobody updates us on them, and we have somebody that passed away 6 months earlier that we still have on our prayer list. So if you've got somebody on that prayer list that you want to stay on that prayer list, please let us know. You can contact Debbie, Sylvia, or Tim, okay? I'm sure you'll know one of those, or you can let us know. We will make sure they stay on there. We're not trying to kick people off of a prayer list, but we've got to make sure that it's not, 53 pages long, and that we have up-to-date individuals that we've got on our list so we can keep up with that. Anything else? All right. Oh, finance team meeting today, immediately after the service, FLC 116, and then the blood drive that's coming up this coming Tuesday in our gym. A lot of things taking place. I want to thank you for the extra time. It's always rough when your pastor's away for a mission trip. He comes back ripping and raring and ready to go, but I do appreciate the extra time. I appreciate Pastor Nunn as he was with you last week. I'm sure you all were blessed. Wonderful man of God. Love him dearly. And look forward to when we get a chance to hear him once again. Pastor David, come on up, see us off in prayer, and we'll get this day moving on.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the privilege we have of just being in your house with the family of God today. Lord, we pray that as we go our separate ways, that you'll help us be reminded that we are commissioned to be missionaries every day of our life. Help us to share the gospel, the love of Jesus, with those we come in contact with. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.